want to point out that we're starting a series right now this month of December. We call it Gifts of Christmas. And these aren't the typical gifts, but these are ones that God wants us to take seriously, and we're going to have to enact these things to actually enjoy them and take advantage of them. But the one thing that hits me on Christmas is how many people struggle with Christmas. How many people, when we get to this time, remind them of what they don't have or what they never have. Families that have been broken up, dreams that have been sought after. I remember when I was a freshman in college, I was at one marriage, and during that year that I was away, my dad left my mom for another woman. My savings imploded. It left my mom at home for my younger sister. My older sister was already married. But I remember going home for Christmas that year, and it was a really weird year to feel. Our family was not the same. And I remember that year, we decided to have a child. Joel, go ahead and pull that up. If you've never seen one, that's kind of what a chocolate ground looks like. I love that story. But we didn't have a hard dash to left and buy a tree. We just went back to the woods in our backyard. We just cut down a strong tree. Just kind of out of that. It was just hard. And I don't know if that's kind of where you are right now as we enter into this is going to be a great celebration. A reminder that your family other issue that comes up. But I'm here to tell you there's a gift that God wants us all to recognize and to take on that I think it helps us with this. We're going to look at four gifts that we need to give and receive to be able to find it. Christmas is truly a season of giving that started the Lord who gave himself, and that's why we give. So let me just pray and come on to you. Lord, thank you for to share your word, and I pray that you guide our time. I pray that you use it to your own glory, and I pray for everyone that's here. For those who are coming this season, and even those who have things to do, but it doesn't have a lot of meaning to them, it's just another event. God, I pray that you speak to us this morning. Amen. The gift of Thanksgiving is what we call this one. Last week, Aaron mentioned in his last talk, he talked about in the Old Testament where there was actually several different offerings that people would do. And one of them was a free will offering, which was called a thanksgiving offering. And what it meant is he voluntarily came and presented something to God and said, God, I just want to thank you. And it was always the first person that he did, the best. And he said, God, this is for you. I just want to thank you for all the many good things you've done for us. Okay? This past week, we did Thanksgiving deal. And we're going to go forward. This is what we celebrated, you know, in Plymouth back in the 1600s was the first Thanksgiving where they had such a harsh winter the next year we actually had a great harvest. He said, let's gather and let's thank God. Let's do it with the Indians, which is really cool. But that's what Thanksgiving is about, is recognizing what is happening and celebrating God for it. What I want you to look at now is if you have your Bible, open up to Philippians chapter 4. Because I want to say something that God, I think, helps us understand that Thanksgiving uniquely from us today. Or you can read it here. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, what does that tell us? Well, the first thing it tells us is God's answer to handling things we do with our life is critical. Okay? His answer to you is critical. Let me know the news to you. But he says, lay in space everything. It tells us when we are not allowed to worry. I know growing up, I love my mom. She's probably one of the biggest cheerleaders in my life. She encourages me quite a bit. But she creates things to worry about. And I remember when my take my spears, but don't worry about it. I'm going to put some energy into it. But what it ends up doing is stuff grows up. You know, and some of you guys, you know, you're driven by worry, or you are controlled by worry, and it's not you. Some people just think it's a natural response to just stuff. Worrying is normal. And here's something you may not have thought. When you worry, there's some things that you're actually thinking about what you believe about God, which would include, he's probably too busy for me to bother you with what I'm doing. Or, he's disinterested in what you're doing. He's just being God. Or he's incapable. Like, why would I go to God with this? I've got to take this one out and make this happen. Or, you know, the thought of consulting God would be, I'll exhaust everything I can do. Maybe I'll add God into the equation. I'm actually desperate. And God says when we do that, we're free. We really think we are the change agent in our life. We are often going to be disappointed. God actually calls us out here. And I want you to recognize this. Okay? Worry is not normal. It's not irresponsible. It's a sin. God says, do not be anxious about anything. He doesn't give us any wiggle room. He doesn't say, you know, well, there are those big things you've got to worry about. Why don't you be anxious for anything? God designed us in a way that our bodies do not handle anxiety. You actually handle pressure fine. Anxiety, you internalize it. You don't do super. Ulcers and other things come about. The second thing we learn about prayer is that prayer is supposed to be a way of life. Prayer is a way of life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Joel, go ahead and explain that. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything gives thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So the reality here is we're thanking God and speak about God all the time. We're going to pray without ceasing. How does that work? Well, you don't talk all the time, or people really look at you funny. It's not mumbling all the time. But it is nice to talk with God that basically includes everything that's going on around you. You may never have thought of prayer before, but God says, this somewhere, I basically think God is handing this off to you. You are the judge. You will make all things right in your time. So when I hand it off, it echoes just the core to me. It doesn't need to own you anymore. The same way with fruit, the pressures and the challenges. The last thing is, prayer lets me get to work and lets me get in glory. When we pray, we actually get to see things happen. That's why God says, you do not have because you do not have. Meaning, God says, this thing. able to trust them and realizing, hey, that this is taking me to become a better person.
Right.
Good job. Great. Maybe a couple more. Gave me an understanding that it definitely changed. God also can use it. Okay. One last one, yeah. There's an essence of suffering and hard things that helps you appreciate some things, as she said. And I know that some of you guys have had bad things happen in your lives, and it's now in your life that it has grown to hit and start to, you start to have to deal with it. That's exactly what God's wanting God to do. One of those things, which he said was, it was a process. It wasn't something you just said, all right, I'm just going to do this thing. No, it's something you struggle with. It's something that is hard. But the second thing is this. At some point, you decide, God, I can either continue the way that's normal and angry and bitter and let it take me down because you give me a way to do that. The thing that's awesome about God is I believe that the cross of Jesus Christ is the only answer to the underdog in this life that the world does not have to do. The world blames other people as the way to deal with it. That doesn't work. The world then resorts to self-medication by many different means. That does not work, and it does not take away. But you know what? The same God that died for your sins died for the junk that everyone else has done. And you make a decision and say, God, I'm going to take their junk there because I don't want to keep it anymore. It does not get it right and mess with my life anymore. And God says, no. We start to have freedom. That's a process, but I want you to catch this, okay? God says, we're just thanking him for good things. Okay, at the beginning of the verse there, it says, rejoice in all things. That is an ongoing challenge to us. To say, no matter what happens, we should thank him. But it's most easy to thank him for good things. But I'll throw this out to you, most of you don't. Most of you, and my question is, we take so much for granted until we lose it. And my throw out to you is to really stop and think, what is it in my life point to God for you? I won't give you a clue. The answer is everything. Your ability, your looks, your family, your gender, your economics, your living in this part of the world, that was all I've seen this juice with the cover of his waters where his life is good. That's not looking. You want to find one that says totally, you know, twisted. I think that would be so cool. But anyway, I come to terms with that. I'm done complaining. I'm done venting. I'm done fighting. And I stop trying to blame God or change his character. He said, God, you can't be good if you allow these things. You are still good. I live hopeful in a world that is damaged. I want to show you a quote by someone who I very much respect. Maybe it's John Erickson Todd. You've heard me maybe mention her before. This is a quote from her. She was living in suburban part of Maryland. Great, good athlete. Was out in the Chesapeake Bay, dove and hit rock. Didn't see it. Became a paraplegic. She struggled badly. There's actually story. But this is her quote. She says, my weakness, that is my quadriplegia, is my greatest asset because it forces me into the arms of Christ every single morning when I get up. She's come to terms with it. She's been able to say, she's able to go, you know what, God, it's not just bad for my life, it is something I can thank you because of what you do and have done in my life. Thank you. The second thing when we think God's supporting us, it means I'm trusting God in it. I stop trying to deal with my own stuff. I stop blaming. I stop